Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Furby. I bought a Furby as a nostalgic joke. Joke's on me. Day one, adorable. Giggles, wiggles its ears, says, me love you. Day three, woke me up at 3 a.m. whispering in Furbish. I think it summoned something. Day five, I'm starting to ask it for life advice. Day seven, it blinked at me like it knew. I blinked back. We've reached an understanding. I fear it. I love it. 5 stars, Aaron M. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw 3 long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are 2 small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the connection section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Now, we are offering memberships on the website, so go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, and hit the join button to join and become a member today. You get extra shows every week. You get access to live shows with live call-in numbers, forums, chat rooms, lots of fun. So if you're interested, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com and join today. Now, this week we have Kevin coming on the show, and Kevin is going to share some of the miraculous things that he's experienced, but also more paranormal type things. We are all over the place with Kevin, so let's get to it right after the trailer for this coming week's member episode.
It was stress, but then, you know, a dream started happening. I started having really vivid dreams of things. Sorry. And all of that, it was starting to get to me, and I think this thing or demon or I don't know what it was just totally like latched onto me after that. And yeah, I lost a lot of sleep over this. You know, I couldn't sleep a wink, and I had this girl over that I was talking to. and she was over the house. We're in my room watching movies, and I said, hey, I'm going to go get some drink. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And she said, okay. She's sitting on my bed, and the door was open to my room, and she was on her phone. And she said in her peripherals, she saw a little girl. She saw the whole make of the short. She said she had to have been like 4 foot something, you know. She could see the long black hair. And she thought it was one of my little sisters. So she said, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm Bruno's friend, you know, how are you? And she said she looked up and there was nobody there. She didn't think of it anything strange. She just figured she scared her and she ran back upstairs. So I come downstairs and she said, hey, I met one of your little sisters, I think. And I was like, you did? She was like, yeah. She was like, she was just down here. She was like, well, one of them was. And I was like, no, they're at my grandparents' house. And she kind of just like looked at me and she got really scared. And she's like, no, I saw a little girl in the basement down here. She was standing in your doorway. And I was like, no. So I started telling her everything that's been happening to me, and she never came over after that. She just...
Okay, today we have Kevin coming on the show, and Kevin has some paranormal experiences, miracle experiences, and it's just going to be a fun time talking with Kevin about some of the things that he's experienced and what his mom has experienced. But Kevin, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, Jim. Not too bad.
I'm good, man. I'm good. So we just got chatting here a little bit and stuff, and you share with me some of the things that you wanted to talk about tonight, including what you experienced that you said was a miracle. And I listened to you share that story to me, and it does sound like a miracle to me. So I'm excited to get you going on that. But before we get into that stuff, I want to get you going on some of these shadow figures that you had seen. I believe it was when you were a kid growing up. I think you said the first time was when you were sitting in the kitchen. So what happened there?
So basically what happened was basically my dad wasn't there that day at home. And he usually sits at the top, like basically at the head of the table in the kitchen, right? And then from where the kitchen is in my old apartment was that there was two openings to walk into. There was no doors or anything. It was just like walk right in from the hallway, you know, usual apartment type of kitchen where it's just covered by like a small wall and had two openings to go in and out. And then from where my dad would usually sit, where I was sitting that day, it was just literally me, my mom, and my little brother. So she's sitting beside me and my little brother sitting across from me. And I was probably maybe... I'd say probably six, a bit more than that. So around maybe like probably 10. I wasn't too young, but still old enough to remember what I saw. So this was probably like in the afternoon, you know, during the summertime. So there was no school. So just literally eating, you know, lunch. And then all of a sudden I just look up, and then from where the kitchen is, to the second opening of the kitchen, you can literally see the opening of my parents' room. And what they had stuck on that side of the wall near the door was a treadmill. So what I literally saw was this black shadow figure, whatever you want to call it. Fully black. Like there was no, it wasn't like a chromey car looker and like full on black. Like there was like light could not pass through it. Just like no eyes, no nothing. It was as if someone was wearing a full black jumpsuit, but like I said, there was nobody in the house, right? So it literally looked like something that was shadowy, but it wasn't see-through, it was fully black. So basically it appeared out of nowhere, and I'm just looking at it, and I wasn't scared or anything, you know. You'd expect kids to be scared of this, but I just kept looking at it. And then as it turned around from the door, it looked at me and then looked back into my parents' room, and then it just literally strolled from my parents' room into my room that you can't see until you pop your head through the hallway, and it just disappeared. I got up, I looked, there's nothing there. I didn't mention anything to my mom because, you know, she'd probably call me crazy for something like that. So I just kept it to myself. And then that was the first time that happened. Like I said, there was nothing too scary. Like I said, there was no face, there was no nose, there was no eyes. It was just like a completely black figure. And then the second time that happened was, I was sitting and watching TV. I'm pretty sure nobody was home that night. This was probably like a year or two later. Just babysitting my little brother that was asleep. And I'm not sure if I explained to you in the email how I was living on the second, our apartment was on the second floor. So we had like this alleyway behind us that had like one light, like one amber light that would light it up like a normal street light. So I'm just literally watching TV and I'm sitting on that beloved chair, if you want to call it that, one single chair you can sit on watching TV. And next thing you know, just something told me to turn right and just look down the hallway, where at the end of the hallway was my room, but the door was open. And then I had a window in my room facing towards the alley. Basically what happened was I just turned around, and next thing you know, I see the side profile of a face just walk from one end of the window to the other end of the window. Because you can see basically like 90% of the window just sitting from the hallway if the door was open. But like I said, I never really thought anything about it until I started listening to your show and, you know, got into more into the supernatural paranormal stuff and the shadow figures. And then we ended up moving from that apartment a few years ago. And then my little brother's friend still lives in that neighborhood. So I was dropping him off there one time. I'm like, let me pass by and check that old alley to see how high was it. Maybe, you know, maybe I thought like it was a person passing by at night, you know, maybe I just saw his reflection. Then I realized that you'd have to be at least 12 feet tall for your reflection to show up on that window. Because the amber light was above you. And like I said, it was a second floor apartment. So there was really no way of anybody that was crossing, you know, walking down that alley of basically showing up, showing up as the reflection on the window. So that's what made me think, you know, what if it was that same, whatever you want to call it, shadow figure, whatever name, you know, everybody has different names for them, right? So I'm really not too sure what it was, but like, I feel it creeps me out more today than it did when I was a kid when I think about it now, you know what I mean? So that was the first one and two encounters that I had in regards to a shadow figure. Luckily, never had anything since, nothing at the new house. Nothing weird like that, but that was the main two, you know, shadow figure encounters that I had as a child.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you weren't scared of it then, but now it kind of makes you a little, uneasy. And do you think that's because you're a little bit more educated in these topics than you were when you were a kid?
I think so, to be honest with you. Like I was ever since I was a kid, I was always into like, I'd say the paranormal, but because the TV shows that we had here and, you know, in Canada, we had this TV show. I'm not sure if it ever aired in the States. It was called Mystery Hunters. Like two teenagers going to different parts of the world and places in Canada and the States, you know, looking for ghosts, looking for the skunk ape down in Florida, whatever it was, you know what I mean? So I was always kind of interested in these topics. But the older you get, you know, the more you get educated into it and stuff like that. So I was surprised that it never really creeped me out as a child. You know what I mean? But now that I think about it, it's making me a bit iffy to think that I actually saw something, because I've literally never had anything scary happen to me since then, literally, you know, so that's why.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. I've never heard of that show, though. It must have just aired in Canada. But, you know, I'm probably the wrong person to talk about TV shows and movies and stuff. It's well documented that I don't know half of the movies and TV shows out there. I don't watch TV a whole lot unless it's an NBA basketball game. So, which, by the way, your Toronto Raptors are looking pretty darn good this year. So I don't know if you follow basketball, but if you don't, it's a good time to start.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about basketball. My friends are, but I've been keeping up with the Toronto Raptors. Seems like they're doing pretty good this year. You know, all these saw that they got new players and some players left. So,
yeah,
I wish I was still into sports like when I was a kid. You know, but I guess older you grow, the more responsibilities you have, and so you know, I don't have too much time to watch TV. You know what I mean? I literally work. I listen to your podcast. I listen to, you know, West from Sasquatch Chronicles podcast. Literally, that's about it. You know what I mean? When I'm at work, so. And definitely, yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting though, man. Like, I do this podcast, but I really do think about sometimes starting an NBA basketball podcast, because that's, you know, I could talk basketball forever. So I've kicked it around and stuff, but maybe one of these days I'll actually drop one of those episodes. I actually recorded an episode already. Maybe I'll release it one of these days. Yeah. But anyways, let's get back on to you, man, because what you saw was these shadow figures. Now, I don't expect your memory to be 100% accurate here, but do you ever remember thinking you might have seen like a hat on these figures, like the people talking about these hat men that everybody sees?
So for the hat men, I've actually heard about them. I'm not too sure if you've heard of this documentary called Nightmare on Netflix. It's really creepy. Like the way they made it, it's about like sleep paralysis and hat men, and how like there's always specific things that people see when they have sleep paralysis, you know what I mean? It's either the night hag or the hat man or something else that's creepy, you know what I mean? So it didn't look like it was like a like the hat man or anything. Like I said, it literally looked like a normal sized adult, just, you know, fully black. Like there was no light through it. It wasn't shadowy, it wasn't smoky. But like I said, there was no eyes, there was no nose, there was no mouth. That's what I found weird, you know. You'd expect to see eyes or something creepy out of something like that, you know what I mean? But this is just like a completely black figure. And like I said, nobody was home that day. My parents are not the type to pull pranks on me or do pranks on their kids or anything like that. So that's why it's always been in the back of my head, and it just recently popped up when I was listening to your show in regards to, you know, I don't remember which podcast episode it was, but someone was talking about like shadow figures, and that's when, you know, it kicked into my head. I'm like, oh my God, you know, this actually happened to me, and I had completely pushed it into the back of my mind since I don't remember much about it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, I can understand that, man. I absolutely understand that. It's been a long time and stuff. Do you know the history of the place you were living in now? I know you said it was an apartment building, but was there, mm-hmm. you know, was it a building that was renovated to be an apartment and might have had some kind of history to it, or what?
I was thinking about actually maybe doing some research about it, but the way it wasn't like an apartment complex where there was like an elevator and you had like 20 floors or something like that. It was literally like you had the bottom first part of, you know, the apartment, which was like the first floor, and then you'd walk up the steps, and then you had two doors. You had the door to my apartment, and then you had the door to the third floor apartment, which was more steps because my neighbors lived up there. I visited them. And then up there, they had their own apartment. It was literally just three floor apartment. And like a neighborhood full of houses, you know what I mean? So I know that it was probably built somewhere in the late 60s, 70s. That's really about it. We bought it off my mom's cousin when we came from Lebanon, when we first moved back here. So that's really all I know, you know what I mean? But I don't think it was built on any sacred land or anything like that or anything. But I remember hearing, because where it was located, if there was like a park, like a kid's park, literally like a block down the street. And then behind there was like the woods where there was like a trail and stuff like that. And my friends used to always talk about supposedly this witch. I don't know what it was. I never looked into it, but supposedly a witch that lived deep down in the woods and were always warned not to go down there. So I'm not too sure if that was true or it was not. I never really looked into it. That kind of creeped us all out. So we never wandered too far down into the woods, you know. We used to have like a trail where we used to take our BMXs and mountain bikes on. And that was about it. We never took too deep because we always heard about, oh, this witch living in this old house down in the middle of the woods. So we never bothered it. So maybe it was something that had to do with that, if it was true. You know, so I'm not too sure, to be honest with you, but it seemed like your typical neighborhood. It wasn't too old. It didn't seem like there was never any deaths there. There was never any fighting or anything. It was a very calm neighborhood with like either old people living there or just like new couples with no kids. So that's really what it was.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. That's, I mean, I like asking those kind of questions because, you know, sometimes you hear, you know, some history of the place and all of a sudden you start drawing the connection. And you're like, okay, that makes sense. Like you mentioned about like burial grounds or something like that. Like sometimes, you know, yeah. You hear of buildings and stuff, houses that were built on, you know, in ancient Indian burial grounds it was owned by an axe murderer, you know? So it's like, oh, okay, that makes mm-hmm. sense. Yeah, yeah, now I know why you were seeing what you're seeing. But
exactly.
So, I mean, has anybody else ever, you know, said anything to you about seeing something, or was this something that you really only feel like you saw?
I think, to be honest with you, it was only me. My little brother's not too into the paranormal, doesn't really care about it as much as I do. I don't think, I've never asked him, to be honest with you, if he's ever seen anything. But I should definitely ask him, because he was always scared to sleep on his own till he was like 12 or 13, you know what I mean? Because of something. And then whenever we were forced to put him to sleep in his own bed up until he got used to it, you know what I mean? He was always curled up to his face. Like, I mean, like, he put the blanket right up into his face and he'd look like an old nun, you know what I mean? Because he was scared of something. We don't know what it was. Maybe because I used to creep him out with stories. I'm not too sure if he saw something or anything like that. I'd have to double check and ask him to see if he's noticed anything. But my mom's never noticed anything other than that story I told you about, you know, this, you know, supposedly visiting her in that old apartment. My dad finds it crazy that I talk about these kinds of stuff, even though my mom actually mentioned something to me that he always sees this really ugly face up very close to him at night, and he never said anything about it. I'm like, speak about it. He just won't speak about it. And then my mom pulled me aside. He's like, yeah, he always sees like this really ugly sort of face that nobody's ever explained to me because they don't want to bring it up. I'm not too sure why, in his sleep. So I'm not too sure if he's having sleep paralysis. I'm not too sure if he's actually seeing something that's coming or anything like that. But like, there's never, nothing goes on in the house. Like, we bought our brand new, our house was literally built and we moved into it. So it wasn't built on any, it was built on an old horse racetrack that used to be in the area, but that's about it. I'm not sure if a horse died there and a horse can come back and haunt you, or something, or like a jockey maybe died on that. I'm not too sure, but you know, me personally, I think I was the only one that's ever experienced anything that had to do with the shadow figures in the old apartment. You know, never had the chance to ask my parents because, like I said, they think I'm a bit crazy when I talk about this kind of stuff, you know, or Bigfoot or anything like that. But you know. So I'm not too sure.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I was curious, but you know, you said that you were into the paranormal. Now, is that something that was spawned from your experiences, or were you into the paranormal beforehand?
I think maybe that started it. I'm not too sure if maybe that sparked it and maybe why that continued on from there. But like I said, I think what really sparked it was that TV show. There was literally that TV show called Mystery Hunters, like I said, and then there's other show that's airing on some American network. I'm not too sure what it's called. Like, sorry, not airing right now, but they're re-airing it. It's called Creepy Canada or something like that. I remember, you know, watching something and seeing something that happened actually not too far away somewhere, some location here in Ottawa, like at an old fort that's like maybe an hour away from here. So I would say that it was a TV show that kind of sparked my interest. You know what I mean? In regards to that. And just, it grew on from there. You know, the older I got, the more I got into it and, you know, started learning about whatever you want to call demonology and, ghosts and aliens and, you know, the usual stuff that people, I'm not saying I'm a full believer, but like, it's always nice to have a skeptical point of view about things. You know what I mean? So, but there's a lot of things that can't be explained that I don't let, you know, not everything is a hoax in this world. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I get it. Not everything can be a hoax. I mean, when you have so many people sharing these experiences that they've had, certainly not everybody can be either lying or just totally mentally insane. So, I mean, somebody's got to be telling the truth. You did mention it just a few minutes ago about your mom. So why don't you kind of go into that, man? Because you said that your mom had supposedly encountered a saint. So talk to us about it.
So, yeah. So basically what happened was, when my dad was working the late night shift overnight, because he used to be a taxi driver. And this was when my little brother was still a baby sleeping in the crib. So he was in another room. So I would just go and sleep beside my mom in the bedroom. You know what I mean? So, I never knew about this until she told me maybe like a few months later. And she didn't even tell me. She mentioned it to one of my aunts. And then when I heard the story, I kid you not, like, it's like you drained the blood out of me. I freaked out. I'm like, how could you not tell me that this happened while I was sleeping right beside you? So basically how she explained it was that she was asleep, and then in through the door of her bedroom, she saw this figure that was dressed as a monk. Like, you know how monks dress up, like the full black robe and like the hood. So she basically saw that, but he was not walking. She said he was literally floating from the main door and floated all across the front bedroom and then pulled up beside her. And then he basically put his hand to her face not like as if he was going to slap her or like choke her or anything like that, but like, it was like, she's like, I felt I was like in a meditative state, like a trance state almost, you know what I mean? Cause like I said, my mom's really religious and stuff like that. So literally as soon as he got close to her, she told me, I literally smelled the smell that you smell when you go up to the monasteries in Lebanon. Like there's a certain smell that you smell when you go up there. Like it's very fresh, clean air. You know, there's no pollution. They don't let too many cars up there when people visit and whatnot. So he's like, it's like as if I just got teleported back, you know, back to the homeland and had smelled the smell and came back. And that's basically, that was the first encounter she had with something that legitimate. So I'm not too sure if he did something or anything like that, but I have to definitely double check and ask her, because like I never really wanted to bring it up to her again, because it's not that she was creeped out, but like it was like something very emotional to her, you know what I mean? But like that, you know even though it's a saying and supposed to be something good, I freaked out as a child, you know, like I was like, imagine you're sleeping beside your mom and something comes floating into the room, pulls up to your mom beside you and just disappears, you know what I mean? I was like, wow, that's pretty insane, you know. So
that's something that, you know, I'm sure your mom found it as a deeply spiritual experience for her. And mm-hmm. I think this is a good time to just kind of bleed it right in. Why don't you talk about what you experienced that you called a miracle? Because maybe these two things are a little bit related. Who knows?
To be honest with you, I think they might be.
I do too.
The specific saint that I'm talking about actually did a miracle on some lady in Arizona not too long ago. She was completely blind, and the next thing you know, she woke up and she had vision again. And then she remembers seeing him specifically performing surgery. Not necessarily performing surgery, but like doing something. I'm not too sure what the story was. I'd have to look into it or maybe even send you a link about it. Literally, a woman in Arizona. He's revered in Mexico and stuff like that. And, you know, mostly all over the world with Catholics specifically. So basically what happened with me is that as a child, I had epilepsy. So, you know, you have constant seizures, and not necessarily constant seizures on a daily basis, but some people have daily seizures. Some people will just happen out of nowhere. Like it was to the point where I had a seizure in church one time and almost gave my great uncle a heart attack. Because he didn't know what was happening to me. You know, I just dropped and started foaming at the mouth in church. They think I was possessed or something. So basically, we ended up visiting one of the monasteries of these saints in Lebanon. And then there was this little church that was built underneath the monastery. And like I said, it was very, very small church. It wasn't huge, like the main church that's upstairs or anything like that. So nobody was there. Nobody was sitting there other than me. Not my mom, not my dad, because they had lost me. Not necessarily they had lost me, but like, you know, they were looking for me around. So I just went by myself and supposedly wandered there for some strange reason. I don't remember why or anything like that. So what ended up happening was I'm just sitting there. And then, you know, like I said, out of nowhere, there was no priest, there was no monks, nobody visiting in that church. And then I'm just sitting there. And next thing you know, this piece of candy, like wrapped candy, just hits me in the head. I'm like, what is this? It just drops. I'm like, oh, candy, right? You know, every kid likes candy, so why wouldn't I take it? And then next thing you know, I just look up and I see this bright white light, like you see in movies, like, you know, the gates of heaven are opening or something like that. Like literally a very bright white light coming from the ceiling. And it wasn't like the light that they had, because there was no light other than the candles lighting up this church, because it's a very old church underneath the actual main church. So basically, like I said, I saw this white light and then like 3-4 candies dropped and just like, oh, candy. So I just started eating them. And then, you know, I ran to my mom and I told my mom, like, oh, look, there was candy. She's like, who gave it to you? I'm like, nobody gave it to me. It just fell out of the sky. She's like, what do you mean it fell from the roof? I'm like, it fell from the roof. And she's like, she just brushed it off like nothing happened. You know what I mean? Oh, she thinks that maybe a monk gave me candy or like one of the priests or something had given me candy or something like that. So basically, when I went back to do my test for the epilepsy, where they put like these sticky things, so you had to measure the electricity in your brain like they do to, you know, to measure specific muscle movement or something like that on your body. Same kind of concept. All the electricity had disappeared after I had eaten that candy. So the appointment was maybe 2 weeks to a month later. I'm not too sure. I can definitely double check with my mom to see what it was. I think I still even have the papers proving that there's nothing left, that there was nothing left of some sort of electricity in my brain. And ever since then, I never needed the medication that I used to take for it. Never had a seizure, never had any complications from it. and nothing at all, you know, and I'm very thankful for that. If that was the saint or whoever, you know, who caused this miracle, that if you want to call it that, for that, you know what I mean? So it's pretty crazy story. Like I said, wow. People call me crazy about it. People laugh at me when I mention it to my friends. I'm like, I'm not BSing you. You know what I mean? Like this is legit. Like literally candy fell from the sky of this church and I just ate it. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, you know, I go for my appointment, nothing's there left. And like I said, same thing with my cousin. She has epilepsy. She's 25. She's a bit older than me. And she still takes this medication till this day. And her epilepsy is not gone. She still has a bit of complications from it and whatnot, you know? So I'm very, very grateful that, that ended up happening to me. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get to eat some candy, some fruit snacks, and you get healed. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, God works in mysterious ways. You know what I mean? So maybe he saw that as a way of healing me by just dropping me candy instead of doing it in some other way. I'm not too sure. Like I said, it's a very high possibility, but like, why basically make me feel like I should just walk to this little church, you know what I mean? And just sit there by myself. And like I recently went back to the homeland, which is Lebanon, this past summer, and I went and visited that church and I looked around and like, and I'm like, wow, like I mean it looks smaller now because I've gotten older, but you know, I double checked, I looked up, I looked everywhere, I even asked the monks around, I told them about my story, like that's pretty, you know, pretty insane, you know what I mean, that you know, nobody was there and nobody could have actually gotten candy and thrown it at you, because there was no like second level steps where like the choir would sit and sing, you know what I mean? So there was none of that, like I said. So there's no way for someone to just chuck candy from behind and you know, fool me into thinking that, you know, here's some candy, eat it, you know what I mean? And not confront me by giving me candy. It just literally came out of nowhere. I consumed it. And then, you know, ever since then, I've never had any complications or any seizures or anything like that, thankfully.
You know, I find it interesting that, you know, because miracles happen, right? And so, I mean, at least I believe miracles happen, and clearly you believe miracles happen. But I mean, when we're talking about a supernatural power, it whatever you believe, you know, whoever that supernatural power is, candies seem so far like unnecessary, right? If there was somebody that needs to be healed, it's like, yeah, if you have the power to do that, there is no need for the consumption of the candies. I just wonder what the candies' purpose was. Like sometimes when there's things that happen when it comes to miracles and things like that, it's like there's symbolism. You know what I mean? Like there's the you doing something is the act of faith that allowed the open door for the healing to take place. But you're a kid and you're just, you know, eating some candy that you thought was, you know, hey, cool candy, you know? But you drew the connection where, you know, from that point on, the epilepsy was gone. The next time you went to the doctor, it was completely gone, right?
Completely gone. Yeah, like I said, I've never had a seizure, never experienced anything nowhere near it. Like I said, the electricity was whatever happens. I'm not sure how this, you know, I don't remember specifically how epilepsy works or anything like that. Like I said, every single thing that has to do with epilepsy or seizures was just completely gone out of me. Like it's just one day it was there, and, you know, next thing you know, it's completely gone, literally. And it was after that, what I noticed was after that encounter that I suppose, you know, that I had with the candy. But like I said, I've always tried to draw a connection as to why candy, you know what I mean? Why can't have you just healed me overnight of some sort of way or you know, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure why it was possibly candy. It drives me crazy till this day to think about it and make a connection. But I literally realized like it was after that fact that I found that candy and I ate it that literally fell from, you know, the roof of this rock, this church that's built into a rock, not even wood, you know. And it was, like I said, it wasn't a full size church where there was like a choir where they can sit and they had the organ upstairs or anything like that. Like I said, it's like this tiny church where you have to bend down through the door and get into it and stuff like that. Really old church. And that's literally where it happened. It was all by myself that day. Like I said, there was nobody there to come and offer me candy. No monks, no priests, no family friend, not my mom, not my dad, nobody, you know what I mean? So that's what I find it pretty crazy that, you know, that happened to me. And I got really lucky with that, fortunately.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, and to kind of relate with you a little bit, I believe that I was personally healed physically. I had at one time in my life, in my early 20s, actually wasn't even 20s, I was probably like 19 years old. I had a condition called pericarditis, which the tissue on the bottom of my heart swelled a quarter of an inch off my heart. And it was extremely painful, and it's lethal. And the pain felt lethal. I mean, I felt like I was going to die. And they said, if I, you know, if I didn't take care of this, I was going to die. And, you know, I had a lot of people praying for me. I was praying. And the day that I was set to go to the heart doctor, I felt a lot better. And when I go there, the doctor gets irritated with me because I'm in his office and there's nothing wrong with him, like, or nothing wrong with me. And so, like, I'm sitting there and this doctor's like visibly irritated that I'm wasting his time. And I'm like, sorry, dude, you know, like, but I really believe that I was healed. Now, that was through prayer. But I've also heard of other people's experiences where it's more of a interaction like you had. Not like with candies, but like physically, there's some kind of interaction. But a lot of times, like I said, it kind of leans towards you acting in faith to do something, and then the response is a healing. But for you, I just don't see how you know, candies is an act of faith. But I would say that
I know, right? It makes no sense for
it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to. I mean, you're a kid.
Exactly.
And your experience is what you experience. There's a lot of things that I believe spiritually that I don't understand and don't make sense to me, but I do believe them. But you had this experience and your mom had this experience with the saint. What are the connections there? I mean, you said that you think that they're kind of related. And I think that there's probably a possibility that there is a relation there. Have you ever been able to connect any dots as to the two events maybe connecting in some way?
Well, to be honest with you, not specifically, because the candy story happened before we moved to Canada. And then the one where the saint visited my mom was here in Canada. And this was like maybe 10 years ago, I'd say, like a good 10 years ago. Like I said, when my dad was working the night shift, so like my mom had nowhere to sleep. She didn't want to sleep alone, right? So I was like, okay, fine. I enjoy sleeping in a big bed and I have all this room, so might as well, you know what I mean? So and I really think it's all because of my mom, because she's really, really, really religious. And she's even had like, you know, I'm not too sure. I don't like to get too much into her with about it, but, you know, I think it's because of all the prayer that she puts out, if you want to call it that, you know, to the saint, you know, to Jesus, to God, just, you know, the general way of doing things, if you know, for people that believe in Christianity, for example, you know what I mean? So I really think it's because of my mom. I don't think if it wasn't for all the praying that my mom did when I was a kid and I was going through that, that would have happened, to be honest with you. Because everyone was worried, you know what I mean? That like, oh, like this basically ruins your life. You can't necessarily work, you can't drive, you can't do nothing, you can't go out because they're worried about you, that you just might have a seizure and drop in the middle of the road and get hit by a car. You know what I mean? So, like, I think it was all through the prayer of my family. But like I said, the whole candy story, it drives me crazy till this day to think, why candy? You know what I mean? Why was it through candy that it seemed that I was healed from the issues of epilepsy? And you know, it's completely gone now. Like I said, I've never had to take a single drop of medication ever since then for that, you know what I mean, thankfully. And my cousin still has to, when she's taking the exact same medication that I have since she was 6 years old, and she's 25 now, and she still has to take it, and they still have to go and get it from a specific place and have to go through all this nonsense to make sure she has it, you know what I mean? So that's one of the things I think that, you know, possibly are interconnected. But yeah, I think it's mostly through prayer because of my mom, you know, so.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question here, and you don't have to answer me if you don't want to and stuff, but I'm curious, what faith is your mom or you, depending on, you know, if you follow your mom's faith or not, but what faith is your mom at least?
So basically my family and us basically, so yeah, we're it's all the same, you know, we're technically Eastern Catholic. So we don't follow, necessarily, like, basically at my church, they don't do Latin like your typical Roman Catholic church. It's an Eastern Catholic, so it's mainly in Arabic and Aramaic. So the language that Jesus used to speak in that area of Israel back in the day. So it's very similar. There's a lot of words that sound Arabic because that's where the Arabic language came from. So it's technically Catholic, but we're called Maronite. So Maronite. We've been in Lebanon for like 1600 years. And we have, a few saints that have done lots of miracles. And the most famous one is the one that I told you about, his name is Saint Charbel. Like I said, that lady in Arizona, the most famous, supposedly miracle that he's made was on this lady. I forgot what her name was, but I'll have to look it up for you. Basically what happened, she had this disease that was basically killing her, and the doctors couldn't find a cure. Nobody could find a cure for her. And then one night on the 22nd, one of these months, I'm not too sure. Maybe I can double check with my mom because she knows all of this. And what happened was that she randomly woke up in the night and there was two monks appeared out of nowhere and were told her that, we're doing the surgery on you. And she just let herself go. You know what I mean? She thought that, she had just woken up and doctors were there. Doing the surgery that had something to do with her throat. So ever since then, she's literally been healed. But the crazy part about it is that every single 22nd of every month, she bleeds from those incisions that the supposed saint, did to her. Literally every single 22nd, you can go and see her. They visit her in Lebanon. Every single 22nd, they walk up to the monastery of Saint Charbel, where he used to live as a monk, as a hermit, basically. And then literally every 20 seconds, this is what drives me crazy, is that every 20 seconds, she literally bleeds from those cuts and it just oozes out blood. You know what I mean? I'm not too sure if she was making this up, but like I've seen it physically with my own eyes. My family has, lots of Lebanese people have. She's very known in Lebanon about what happened with her and this specific miracle. You know what I mean? So that's basically it.
So you've seen her in person?
Yeah, I have seen her in person. I've visited her house. Like my mom has met her before and stuff like that. And that's what I don't understand. Like, why is it still oozing, all these years later, every single, specifically not the 21st and not the 23rd, but every 22nd of the month, blood comes out of the incisions where the supposed saint did the miracle on her, and she's completely free of her disease that she had, and all of that, same kind of concept as me, but her was different. It wasn't candy or anything like that, but it was literally those incisions. Every single 22nd of the month they bleed. So wow. That's what's pretty crazy about that story. Like I said, I can definitely send you the story and you can read into yourself. I'm not saying you have to believe it or anybody has to believe it, but literally like it's an old story in my country, about this specific lady that, had this miracle with these saints. And that's not the only miracle he's done. He's done so much miracles that, there's some miracles that he's done that the monastery and people won't talk about because they're so big. And there's lots of canes that are left at the monastery from people that were just, randomly healed from their walking problems. Is like, I mean, the last time I saw it, because I know they removed them this past visit that I went to visit, probably over a good over 100 canes just lying there on the side of the monastery that people just, randomly got healed from just going there or visiting there or praying or, for example, doing something that had to do with prayer or something like that. And this, like I said, just random, miraculously healed. As crazy as it sounds, it's hard to believe sometimes stories like this, but like no BS, like I've witnessed it with my own eyes, So he's very, like I said, very, very famous saint in the Catholic Church technically now, since they canonized him back in the early 70s, from what I can remember, Like I said, he was just a hermit that lived as a monk, as a Maronite monk in Lebanon and in one of these monasteries, and like imagine the life that they had to go through, right? Like that, because Lebanon's in the Mediterranean, and you can literally drive up to the mountains, a snowboard and ski, and then a 30-minute drive down to the beach, and you're on the beach. You know what I mean? All in one day. So they had a really rough time living up in the mountains during the winter because where he slept, they still have the little piece of like, it wasn't even a bed. It wasn't even a mattress. Like, it was just literally like this thing that he rolled out and he slept on. And his pillow was made out of wood. And that's literally what he slept on. He slept on a pillow that was literally a log of wood. And it's still there. You can still go and visit it and see it. And I find that pretty crazy that, you know, someone could actually live out that life of, you know, no speaking, just living off the land, not letting their parents visit him, sleeping on a log of wood in the middle of winter, and it's like freezing cold outside. You know, it's like it's pretty crazy, the story. The yeah. story he's had to go through. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's pretty insane. I can definitely send you some links if you want to look more into it. Even about that Arizona woman that literally happened like 2 years ago, which wasn't even too long ago. You know, so.
Yeah, was his name Daphne Gutierrez?
Yeah, that's her, exactly. So Daphne Gutierrez, yeah.
Gutierrez, okay.
Yeah, so she's completely cured from blindness, yeah, an Arizona woman, yeah.
That's right. Okay, gotcha. Well, listen, before we get out of here, I want you to take just a moment here and share your friend's experience with Shadow People. I know she told you an experience and she knew that you were going to be on the show, so I want you to share her shadow person experience that she shared with you.
Yeah, sure. So she basically like she works with me, and we were never really close up until I had to, you know, I work at a call center, so I had to end up sitting beside her one time because there's no other seat. And you just start talking, and she's into the paranormal, like not necessarily into the paranormal. She's a bit of a skeptic, but like she's had stuff happen to her, like I said. So one of the things that happened was that she had open the door to go down to her basement. And, you know, if you're familiar with like old basement doors, you know, you can just open the door and the stairs lead right away down to the basement, like the old unfinished basement. So she opened the door, and as she was turning her head to turn the light on, she turned back. And as she looked down the hallway, she saw the shadow figure, and it just immediately, as soon as she saw it, it booked it down to the right and just disappeared into the base. She's like, oh crap, what now? So she calmly walked down, she turned the lights on, calmly walked down, looked around, couldn't find anything. And that was like her first encounter with that. And the other creepy encounter that she had was, she actually took a picture of this, and I'm trying to find it, so maybe I can send it to you and have her email it to you possibly. If you've ever seen a window in the in the washroom, you know how like there's the main glass, and then in between the glass there's like the net for like bugs and stuff, and then there's the other piece of glass where you can just open up the window,
right?
And then it opens and stretches out. So basically what she saw was a handprint on the inside of the first glass window, but not on the outside like where she put her palm on, but like as someone had reached in through the net perfectly and like, you know, somehow magically got his full hand past the net and didn't rip it, didn't do anything, and imprinted his whatever imprint of his right hand on the window. So she freaked out about that because she doesn't know who it is. It's only her and her sister that live in the house. The window's on the second floor, so nobody can actually reach up and break through the net. And like I said, the net was not broken. She literally has a picture of this, and you can see it's like, you know when like something's fogged up and you just put your hand on it and then you can see the imprints of your hand, like when you used to do hand paintings as a kid, like you can just see the like a good chunk of like, you know, your fingers and like just a bit of your hand was missing, and you can see the rest of your your palm.
Yeah.
Same kind of concept, just literally on the inside of the first window. But that's what drove me crazy, is that the net wasn't broken. Like I said, it's on the second floor, so nobody can actually reach up and just, you know, break the net and get his hand in there. So like, how did that get there? You know what I mean? It's not like it's been there for a while. She's never noticed it. Or anything like that. So that's, you know, she came back to work one day and showed us this picture, and we were all freaking out at work. I'm like, how did this happen? How did someone's hand get past the net and printed onto the inside of the first piece of window? You know what I mean? So like, that was one of her two encounters. I know she has many more, like a few more that has happened to her with, you know, something that was like a basket that was sitting somewhere for like 6 months that was never moved from there. And next thing you know, she hears the screeching. And then next thing you know, it just drops out of nowhere off the shelf, you know, and she literally hadn't touched that whole basket for like a good 6 months, and nobody moved it. And it wasn't the cat, and it wasn't her sister. And she was just literally sitting there. She's like, what's that scratching noise? And she turned around and the thing just dropped over as if it was like some poltergeist activity or something like that. So
yeah,
it's pretty crazy stories that she's had that happen at her house. And we tried to figure out if there was something in her house, it was built on something. And no, it was just like an old house that was built in the 70s. Nobody was killed there. you know, same kind of story as my old apartment building. There was nothing iffy about it or anything like that. You know what I mean? So that's what she finds weird, is that where did this shadow figure that she saw in the basement appear out of? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. Well, I think that, you know, she probably has something going on there if things are kind of falling off edges and all that crap. And, you know, it's not the cat. It's just, I don't know. That kind of stuff is a little freaky, but, I'll tell you what, man, I appreciate you coming on and sharing these experiences and stuff. And, you know how to get a hold of me if you ever have anything else you want to share.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Tony. It was good to get this off my chest and have someone kind of believe me, or, you know, but not call me crazy about the whole candy story and, you know, the shadow encounters that I've had in my house, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
So it's good that you do this, let people talk on here and, let, you know, things get off their chest.
Well, that's the goal, man. That's the goal. The goal is that people have experiences and they need to get it off their chest. And so we have this platform for people to do that. Man,
yeah.
It was a pleasure talking to you and thank you for being on. Take care. Okay, and you thought we were done, but we're not done. Why? Because we were just talking to Kevin off air, and he started sharing some experiences that he should have shared on the actual interview. So, Kevin, you're back. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Thank you for putting me back. I'm sorry I couldn't share the story at first. I literally just clicked back. That's why. So.
Yeah, man. So let's just get right into it, dude. You're talking about sleep paralysis. Just start from the beginning, what you experienced, because this is something that, dude, you should have shared during the main interview. Go for it, man.
Yeah. That's perfect. So just one night, maybe like, you know, a good 2 years ago, I was just, you know, after a long day of work, you know, used to work as a car detailer. So I was, you know, we had a long day at work that day. I was pretty destroyed. Came back home, you know, just got into bed. I had, you know, I have a TV in my room, put on Netflix, you know, some random alien documentary. And then just basically knocked out to it and turned it off. I didn't, you know, sleep. You know, I'm not too creeped out by these documents. It doesn't mean anything to me. You know what I mean? So literally as I passed out, you know, maybe probably like a good 20, 30 minutes into my sleep, I abruptly get awoken into the sleep paralysis state. Like what people happen. And this has never happened to me before or anything like that. So I'm looking around and I see this really bright light, like you see in your typical alien movie, shining through the blinds in my room. You know, and I'm still not freaking out at this moment, but like, I'm like, what's happening? Why can't I move my arms? Why can't I talk? And next thing you know, out of nowhere, three beings that looked like aliens, if you want to call them, whatever, you know, grayish, some sort, with some fuzzy looking faces. Couldn't really tell. They didn't look like your typical gray aliens or like the aliens, you know, like in movies or anything like that. And then when I saw them, I started freaking out, you know, because it literally physically felt like two of them were pulling at my leg to try to drag me with them somewhere. And the other third one was just sitting there watching me. And I'm freaking out and freaking out and freaking out. I'm trying to break free from this paralysis state that I'm in. And luckily, broke out of it somehow, some way, and they just disappeared. And the light disappeared instantly. And then literally for the two nights that came along, that whole night I did not sleep. And the next night I was too terrified to sleep. So I ended up pulling an all-nighter the night after, just so I wasn't, just go out. I didn't want to experience that or anything like that again. So I'm not sure if it was an abduction gone wrong, if, you know, if it was just literally my sleep paralysis. At first I thought it was just, oh, maybe because I was watching the documentary and, you know, this just happened because I, you know, my subconscious was maybe thinking about it or something like that. But, you know, like I was explaining to you, why is it that with every sleep paralysis, people see specific things like the night hag, the hat man, aliens, some weird legged creature that just comes and sits on your chest or something like that. Who knows? You know what I mean? But like I said, I used to have different theories about aliens, just saying they were extraterrestrials. But from the looks of it, you know, and the more I listen to people's podcasts and get into it, it seems like they're more interdimensional than they are extraterrestrial beings than anything. You know what I mean? So like I said, Sorry, I can put this on the main interview because it just literally clicked back into my mind. That was like one of the scariest moments. Like I said, I've never been scared when I got into a fight with someone, not seeing the shadow figures when I was a kid, you know, running away from getting a beating from your parents. None of that. Literally, that was like one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And even though, you know, it's supposedly just sleep paralysis and it's just your imagination taking over, is it really your imagination taking over, or is it something else? You know what I mean? That just
well, I'll tell you what,
you know? So, like,
Kevin, I'll tell you what. I don't know if this is comforting to you, because I would assume it's not, but I do not think that that was your imagination. I don't think that that was a dream that you were projecting. I've talked about it on the show before that I actually have done that in the past, where I actually projected dreams into where I actually thought when I opened my eyes, I was seeing something that really wasn't there. But what you experienced and what you're sharing is something that other people have shared on this show. We just not too long ago, I think it was episode 78, we had Ryan coming on and sharing his alien abduction experience that he had throughout his life, along with missing time. And one of the stories that he shared in there was when he was making like a sandwich and he got extremely tired. He just went to his mom's office and collapsed on the couch and just passed out. And when he woke up, he was essentially paralyzed. He couldn't move. And there was these entities walking up and down the hallway towards his bedroom. And it looked like they were looking for him. They were these entities, extraterrestrial, you want to call it grays, you want to call it demons, whatever you want to call it. It seemed like they were looking for him, but he wasn't where they thought he'd be.
Because where he was. Yeah, I do remember that episode now.
Right,
yeah,
so
I do remember it. Yeah.
So he shares that experience, but then way back, I want to say it was probably episode 30, 31, something like that. I think I called the show Bedroom Visitations. David comes on the show, and David talks about him in his bed at night with his wife. He wakes up to having two, it's in the show intro, two gray entities pulling him off his bed. Like, he had that happen to him. And so what you just described is what two other people on this show have described pieces of. I don't know if you actually were dreaming this. I know that doesn't, it's not comforting, but I don't know what else to tell you other than I've heard this before, and people who shared this with me before shared it as in they weren't dreaming. This was a very real experience that they had where they were paralyzed and something was trying to abduct them.
Yeah, that's what I found crazy. You know what I mean? Like, why was it that specific night it happened? Like, I've watched millions of, you know, alien documentaries and slept to them and passed out and never experienced anything like that or of any sort. But why was it that, you know, that specific night that it had to happen where I just, you know, and what are the odds that, you know, how could your imagination cause a bright light right out your window to pop out of nowhere? You know what I mean? And then boom, three entities pop into the room and try to pull out your leg to take you somewhere and drag you off the bed. And like I said, I'm lucky I somehow, you know, broke out of it. And then, like I said, I woke up and it just everything went back to normal. They disappeared. The light instantly disappeared. It's not like it's faded away or anything like that. It was freaky. I'm telling you, it was genuinely freaky. And like I said, I've never been that terrified in my entire life of anything that's ever happened to me. You know, imagine you experience something like that and it just freaks you out. I try to forget about it, but sometimes it just pops out of nowhere when people mention sleep paralysis and stuff like that. It just brings back bad memories from that night. And, you know, I think I might have experienced one more sleep paralysis after that, but it was nothing like that. It was a sleep paralysis, but it was a genuine sleep paralysis. Like, you just woke up and you just couldn't move, but I didn't see anything. I didn't experience anything scary. And that was literally the last time that happened. So what are the odds that, you know, just that one time my supposed imagination took over and wanted to play a trick on me and, you know, pop aliens into the room and a light outside the window. You know what I mean? So that's, it's pretty creepy, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? So,
you know, I mean, I don't know, but I'm venturing a guess that if this really did happen to you, what you were watching before you fell asleep, maybe it attracted something. You know, like people say that when they're messing around with, you know, watching a lot of like horror films or, you know, they were doing something along the lines of experimenting with some kind of paranormal idea, then they have an experience. Yeah. I wonder if people can attract these experiences to themselves by dabbling in just, you know, innocent watching of TV shows and things like that. I don't know, but I've heard people say that. And and it's like, is it a coincidence that you were watching those things and then this happens? Or is it something that was more sinister, more planned and more intentional? I don't know.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's a good way of putting it, because like I said, I've watched many documentaries about, you know, whatever you want to call it, aliens and abductions and people stuff, and I passed out to it and like perfectly fine. I'll go watch a scary movie and it doesn't affect me in any way. I can sleep like a baby even when you watch like something like scary, like I had nightmares. Like it's very, very like I can probably count the times on my hand that I've had nightmares in my entire life. You know what I mean? It's always good dreams, it's always weird dreams, but it's nothing sinister where, you know, it's something like demonic, for example, or alienish or anything like that. That was genuinely the only time that I've experienced something that had to do with something sinister like that, where, you know, entities popped into your room and tried to drag you off the bed and take you somewhere, which God knows where that would have been. You know what I mean? But when I think about it, I'm like, what is the correlation now between the entities and the saints and God and whatever you want to call it? Where does that all come into play? You know what I mean? That's what drives me the crazy the most, is like, how is it all related? You know what I mean? Is there correlation there? Is it good versus the evil? Is that actually true? You know what I mean? So like, I genuinely don't know. I really don't know. It's a question that probably will never be answered, you know?
Well, it will be answered. It's just, is it going to be answered on this side of life? That's the side of life.
That's true. That's very true.
People, I just got a tweet today telling me that I have too much Christian philosophy or something like that on my show. I'm like, well, I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. so you know,
exactly,
you get what you put in. And so, I told the person, I said, if you don't like it, just go listen to another show. But
that's what I was going
to
tell you. Yeah.
But my point in saying that is, I believe that, you know, there is life after death, and that, you know, our answers are going to be found. And so when it comes to this stuff, we, on this side of life, we all have different thoughts and opinions and beliefs. But, you know, one way or another, we're going to find out, even if there is no God, and this whole thing is made up, we'll find out, because when we die and nothing happens and we wind up turning into worm food, I guess we got our answer. You know what I mean? So
I'm
not really concerned about trying to prove to anybody one thing or another. We'll all get our answer sooner or later.
Eventually.
And what you experienced, man, I think you might have been under attack, man. I really think you might have been under attack. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? But
It's true. You know, like what, you know, why that house, you know what I mean? So like, it's crazy. Who knows?
Yeah, it is crazy. But, you know, maybe one of these days you and I will reconnect on this topic and stuff, but I just wanted to get this, in the episode so that you could share with people that, because I couldn't believe it when you started sharing this with me. I was like, dude, what are we doing here? Like, you should have said this earlier.
I thought maybe the shadowing candle was a bit more, you know, creepy, but then I realized, I'm like, oh crap, I should have talked about my sleep paralysis, because who knows what sleep paralysis actually is, you know, like, because they still don't have a proper explanation for it till this day, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man, I do appreciate you coming on, and we'll finally end the recording here and end this episode, but I do really appreciate you coming on and sharing that experience with us.
No worries. Thank you very much again for the opportunity, Tony, and if anything ever happens, I'll get back in contact with you if I get any more info from any family members, anything like that.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please go ahead and share the show with your friends. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email, Snapchat, Pinterest. I don't care how you share the show, but if you enjoyed it, please share the show with your friends. And until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye. Yeah? All right, well, you know what? Do you want to help Daddy? Do you want to help Daddy record? Yeah, come here. Come here. You can help me record. Okay? Let's do this. Can you say something for them? Say hi.
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 Good job. Say hi, hi.
Hi.
Say bye. Say bye.
Hey.
Stop touching the microphone. Say bye.
What?
Say hi.
Hi.
Yeah, you say hi, but you don't want to say bye. That's good. Oh, yeah? Don't touch Daddy's Bigfoot cast. Be careful. All right? You want to go play? Go ahead.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.